You know, a lot of things that we need to do, a lot of things we want to do, and it seems like that life is just too short to do them. It seems like there's not enough hours in the day to do what I want to do. And seems like that time is just swirling so fast. Today, then tomorrow, then the next day, and after a while a week's gone. Then another week's gone, and then a month's gone. And after a while a few months, and then a year's gone. And it seems like that you just don't have time to do nothing. But I still intend to try. How many intend to try to do something? I still intend to try to do something for God. I believe I can by His help. And I still intend to try to do something for Christ. I believe if we press in, we can. Bill was telling me of some plans that he himself has concerning some things for God, and some of the brethren are involved in it. And from the way that he talks to me, they must really be, you know, be determined to really do something. It sounds like they are. Sounds like they're not being coached into it, that they have a real determination to get in there and do something for God. To me, I think that's terrific. Appreciate the way Don works at his job down there at the multipurpose building. He don't do a lot of fellowshipping and talking like some of them. He gets over there behind the wall there where his work is, and he works for hours and hours there. And I really appreciate that. I wish that all of us, you know, could really be diligent in our office and in our work and realize the great responsibility. You know, I'd like to ask this question. Do you, any of you, know of anything that's more important than the kingdom of God or the business of God? Do you know of any business in the world or anything in the world or any people in the world that would be more important than God's kingdom or people? Or is this thing called Jesus or the kingdom of God or the people of God, is this the most important thing that there is in all the universe? You know, if it really is, then we need to be about our Father's business. We need to do something about it. You know, if we esteem it to be so great and so important and so far elevated above everything else, why then are we so unconcerned? Why are we so lax when it comes to real, genuine diligence of getting the job done or making our efforts? Why is it that we don't really have a drive? You know, I wonder if we're really convinced. I wonder if we really are. I wonder if we've really thought it over properly, and I wonder if we're really convinced. I want to invite you again to do something for Jesus. Someday, it might be tomorrow, it might be a week from now, it might be a year from now, but someday you won't hear me say that. Someday. You might die tonight. You might die tomorrow. You might not. I might die tonight. I might die tomorrow. But whether I die or you die, whether Jesus comes back soon, one of these days you won't hear me say that. You won't ever hear me say that anymore. But while I am saying it, now is the time to do something about it. You need to press in for God. Get closer and closer to your pastor. Closer and closer to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Closer than you've ever been to the family of God. Closer and closer, because you're going to need to very soon. I know that you don't feel like you do, but you're going to see a sudden move of God. And it isn't far off. And there's going to be a division that's going to split right down the middle. And you're going to find out that the people of God that are in the world are going to all of a sudden withdraw, and they're going to go to the extremes one way toward God, and the rest of the world is going to continue on to an extreme the other way. And the world is going to become completely heathenistic, completely bare and nude in the sight of God. And the children of God are going to turn around and become real saints. You know, the world has little by little been enticing the church and telling the church that you're old-fashioned, you're out of date, you need a little more education, you need a little more understanding, you need to come with me a little bit. If you want to win souls, you need to change your doctrine and your mode of life a little bit. And so as a result of that, the church has gradually conformed to the world a little more and a little more and a little more. Until finally the church has gotten to where you can't hardly tell one from the other. The world and the church, there's no difference. You can't hardly differentiate between the two. But the church is just about to the place to where they realize how foolish they have been. And what a dreadful thing that they have done. And how that they have played the fool in the sight of God. And listened to the wrong voice. And done like Samson. And that they have let Delilah interfere with their life and wreck their life and take their virtues away. The church world is just about come to that place. And they're just about to the place to where they're on the verge of hating every preacher and all of them that have enticed them and stole their virtues and caused them to mix and mingle to get out there in the hog pens of the world right at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're just about ready to break fellowship. I'm talking about the real saints of God now. And they're just about ready to cut that thing right down the middle and let the world know with one word, as we would say, how they feel about the whole situation. I believe that we're going to see some real changes in this year. I really believe that. I believe in this year we're going to see some real changes. And we're going to find out that there really are some people of God in the earth and that they are sorry for the way that they've been deceived and the way they've compromised. And they're going to shake themselves and turn around. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward, and I hope you'll pardon my expression, but just an old country-fied expression, I'm looking forward to the day when the church will turn around and spit right in the face of the world. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And walk off and leave them while they're wiping it out. And let them know how they feel about the deceitful way that they have done them and pulling them out into the hog pens. And I believe when they come to their senses, they will. I really believe they will. I'd like to read a little bit in the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. If you've got your Bibles, let's start at the first verse. Read just a little. We're glad to have Sister Pixie with us tonight. I didn't know she was going to get to be in service with us tonight. But we're certainly glad to see her in the service tonight, her and the children. And her and Betty was having fellowship this evening when we left to make the TV programs. We also had fellowship with the children in the early afternoon as we went to lunch. And we're glad to have them back at home. Looking forward to Brother Lyman coming and being in service with us. I feel sure he will sooner or later. Appreciate every one of you coming out to the house of God. I know that you'll be glad someday. The first verse, 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voices, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs. I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images. They say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger, and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. You know, it's easy to understand if you're a Bible scholar that he is speaking of Jesus. My servant. My servant. I put my anointing upon my servant. And it's easy to tell that the one that he is speaking of here is Jesus. But there's something that we need to understand, and that is when we talk about Jesus, we are speaking about the church. We are speaking not only about the body of the Lord Jesus, which was in the earth, thank you, Brother Taylor, but we are speaking of the church. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. While he was in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. But then when Jesus went away, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But he said, now I go away and I go to the Father. Now ye are the light of the world. So then if we are the light of the world, then what must we do? The Bible says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is my mission in life then? What am I called to do? I am called to be a light. For the Bible says, I have set thee for a light unto the Gentiles. I am called to be a light. Let your light so shine then that men may see your good works. Do we have any good works? Are we doing anything for God? You know, people can't see works if we're not doing any works. People can't see anything good that we're doing if everything we're doing is for ourselves. Isn't that right? If everything that I do through life is just for Brother Pike and his family, people can't see any good works for God. I must do something for God. If people are going to see my good works for God, then I've got to do something for God. The talk of the lip only tends to penury, but there is reward in all labor. I can talk about the things of God, but that isn't going to be a light. I must do something about it. I must do something about it. I must do something so all of the land can see my good works and glorify my Heavenly Father. That's why I love to give. Sometimes I'm criticized because I give to evangelists. They say, I don't think you ought to do that. I think charity begins at home. But brother, if we keep everything for ourselves here, how is the world going to see our light? If I don't do something for the poor and something for the needy, how will people round and about see my light? I must do something that will help others. I must send others on their way. I must be able to reach the orphans, the widow, the hungry, the poor. Here, when the people took the little bandages, tore up the sheets, rolled the little bandages up, it didn't seem like much, but rolling those sheets up into little bandages, little packages, and sending them overseas to the leprous people, that proved to be a light. A far-flung light to the end of the earth. Those people knew that you cared. See, it wasn't the little bandages. That wasn't what was important. The thing is that they knew that you cared. They felt the love and the concern that came from Bethlehem, Georgia, way over in Africa and India and the different places, wherever it was. See, the love of God, that's what makes the difference. Knowing that somebody's concerned, they say, that is a lie. God has somebody in the earth that is filled with the love of God. When somebody's in need and you share, then the love of God is seen. When you go to help somebody, when you're concerned about somebody, I don't mean concerned about somebody just to talk to somebody. You know, some people, all they ever think about is talk to somebody. They'll say the church has rejected this fellow. I think I'll go and fellowship him and talk to him. You're not really helping that fellow. You're just getting in the way. What you need to do is wake up and do something for God. There's more to do than just talk. There's people that need more than just lip service. They need you to give to them, to help them. There's people that are in need. They need you to share your substance with them. Talking is good. You know, Brother Taylor was in need. I go over to Brother Taylor's house. I talk to him about the love of God. You know, that's one thing. But that isn't going to feed him if he's hungry, if he's physically hungry. James, I believe it was, one of the writers said, if a man come to your door and he's hungry, you say, don't worry about it, brother. I got faith. It's going to be all right. Notwithstanding, you give him not those things that are needful for the body. Have you done him any good? Is he not just as hungry when he leaves as he was when he came? How do you understand what I'm saying? Therefore, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Heavenly Father. That's what I want to do. I want to be a light, don't you? I don't want to drag around. I don't want to just live my life out selfishly. I don't want to just do something for my own self. I want to be a light for God. I want to see the presses of Bethlehem roll until the literature that we've got here goes around the world. I want to give to the poor. I want to help the aged. I want to do something for Christ. I want to see every person that is truly a member of the body of Bethlehem doing something for God. I want every man, I want every woman, I want every boy, I want every girl to do something for God. I've been talking to Mitch here lately, and Brother Taylor, some of the others, telling them the different things that I've got in my heart and in my mind to give our young boys and our young girls, and even the very, very smallest of them, so to speak, that's able to understand, giving them something to do. I've got plans for them. I've got things that they can do that will warm the hearts of different people, and things that will bring a light and show the love of God to somebody. Oh, friend, we need to be a light. We need to do something for God. We don't need just to idle around. We need to do something for God. You know, I think the most miserable people in the world are those that sit around under some kind of TV set, and all they do is drink in TV, listen to the radio. They are from one biscuit to another, from one joint to another. A hamburger here and a hot dog over yonder and a milkshake here and a gossip here and a cup of coffee over here. Never doing anything for God. And then they got to visit this daughter over here and visit that son over yonder and visit this relative over here. And it's just round and around in the wilderness all the time. Oh, we need to do something, folks. My, let's get out of a rut. Let's get out of that thing. You say, Brother Pike, do you believe that's a rut? Let me tell you, going to see your mother, going to visit your relatives is not a rut. Being in the carnal mind that caused you to go do it is the rut. That's the rut. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. When you get to where all you think about is the flesh, and all you think about is relatives, and all you think about is money, and all you think about is conveniences, and all you think about is self, you are in a rut. What we need is the mind of Christ. What's the difference between the beast's mind and the mind of Christ? Brother, when you get the mind of Christ, you think about doing something for somebody. You forget about self and you want to do something for somebody. You get to where you want to live your life for somebody outside of yourself. When a person doesn't want to live their life for somebody outside of self, something's wrong with them. We need to get to where we want to live our life for somebody outside of self. I want to live my life for God and for humanity, don't you? What brings happiness? Doing something for somebody else. That's what brings happiness. Eating and drinking and lounging around and having money and having convenience. To me, that doesn't bring happiness. If that's the road to happiness, why is the world happy? Why is it that they're miserable? The Bible said they're miserable, wretched, blind. If that's the way to happiness, if that's the road to happiness, why is it that they're all miserable? They've got plenty of money. The Bible said in the last days even the church would be rich. They'll say we're rich. We have need of nothing. Knowing not that they're miserable, wretched, and blind. Oh, brother, let me tell you, that's not the trail to happiness. But when you get God, you got happiness. Laying up money in the bank, that isn't going to bring you any happiness. It's just going to make you more miserable. Somebody say, well, I feel a little bit better when I've got those conveniences and I know that I can take care of the situation. Don't you know better than that? Don't you know better than that? Somebody say, but if I put about $40,000 in the bank, I think that'll take care of the situation. If I have to have a hospital bill, if I have to send my children to college, then I can take care of it. But just supposing God lets you have a wreck, and supposing somebody puts a suit in for $350,000, then how are you going to take care of the situation? Somebody said, well, they can't get it if I ain't got it. No, but they sure can put you in a miserable place. They sure can put you in a miserable place and get everything you have got. And then you won't have any convenience whatsoever. Don't you know you can't get a hold of enough money in this world to secure yourself? You can't get a hold of enough convenience in this world to secure yourself. There's not enough securities in this world. But brother, if you take the Lord Jesus Christ with you, you may not have a dollar, but you're just as secure as a baby in a mother's arm. If you've got God with you, you're all right. If you've got the Lord Jesus in your heart, then it doesn't matter where you're at. God can rain down manna out of heaven and feed you in a wilderness. God can take care of you, and the Bible said He'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. The Lord will look after you. But if you're so worried, then you're in trouble. If you're going to try to provide, God isn't going to try to provide for you. I don't want to try to provide for myself. I want God to provide for me. I want God to provide for me. I want to labor that I might have to give. I want to pray. I want to fast. I want to seek God. I want to study the Word. I want to do something for God. I want to evangelize the world. I want to live with the thought that I must evangelize the world. I don't want to rest at night. I don't want to rest in the daytime. I don't want any time to rest. I want to think about God. Think about God. Think about God. That's all I want to do is think about God and the need for salvation. You say, Brother Pike, you can't do that. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. You say, but you're not Jesus. But the Bible said, I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. It's not me living, but Christ. Amen. Christ did it. You say, but you can't do it. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He continually thought upon God. And the Bible said, meditate in His laws day and night. Day and night. Let me think about God in the morning. Let me think about God in the evening. Let me think about God all through the day. Let me think about God, and let me think about the need of the field. Let me think about humanity. Let me think about the need of Bethlehem. Let me think about the need of Monroe. Let me think about the need of Athens, the need of Atlanta, Georgia. Let me think about the need of Africa and the need of India. Let me have my mind on God. And you that have talents, you that have ability, you that have skills, you should be here helping me. You should be here doing something about it. I don't know what your talent is. I don't know what your skill is. But brother, God's going to require it of you in the day to come. You might not have a talent for playing the organ. You might not have a talent for playing the piano. You might not have a talent for playing the guitar. You might not have a talent for singing. But you've got some kind of talent and you've got some kind of skill. And God needs that talent and that skill. And God's going to hold you to it one of these days. Brother, He's going to expect that you give Him your talent and your skill. God is going to hold you to it. Did you know God, all down through the years, God has needed every talent and every skill that's ever been known to mankind. Did you know that? You take when they built the tabernacle in the wilderness. God had to have artificers in brass. God had to have great skillful women that were skillful with the needlework to do exactly what He told Moses that should be done to build that tabernacle. He had to have great carpenters. God had to have skillful men. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you don't believe God is concerned about things like that. If God isn't concerned about it, why did God say to Moses, I put it in his heart to be skillful in metals. I put it in his heart to be skillful in these certain things that he might make the Ark of the Covenant. Why is it God did that if God isn't concerned? Oh, my brother, God is concerned. It took some skill to build this building. Did you know that? It took some perseverance to build this building. It took somebody that was willing to share a dollar with God to be able to build this building. It took some efforts, even some little folks here that climbed the ladders and that dug the ditches. It took some time. It took some consideration. It took some self-sacrifice. It took self-denial. It took some women being away from their husbands and their companions that they may come over here and work. All of that is a treasure in the day of judgment. The Bible said, lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal. And where moth doesn't corrupt. You say, but I don't believe all of that's necessary, Brother Pike. Then why do you build your house? Why do you think it's necessary? when you go to build your house? Why do you think it's necessary when you go to buy your car? Why do you think it's necessary when you go to work in your yard? If it's not necessary, if God didn't give the skill, why not leave it alone? Why mess with it? Oh, it's so necessary, isn't it? It's so necessary. It's not necessary to worry about the little one over yonder that's going barefooted and don't have any shoes on his feet. That's not necessary. That's not my problem. Whose problem is it then? He doesn't have any job. He doesn't have any parents. He doesn't have any money. Nobody cares about him. Whose problem is he then? What responsibility? Whose responsibility is it? What responsibility does the church have if that isn't the church's responsibility? Is not that little one God's responsibility? The Bible said the young lion comes out of his den and lifts his head up to God and roars, and he's hungry, and God has to feed him. And the Bible said the little sparrow calls on God, and God has to feed him. Is not that little lad God's responsibility? If that's God's business, must I not be about my Father's business? Will I not then be rewarded for doing what God has commanded me to do? If it's not important for him to have shoes, why then do you put shoes on your feet? Why do you put shoes on your little one's feet? If it's not important for him to eat, why is it that you eat? And why is it you purchase food for your family to eat? If it's not important for him to have a bed to sleep on and a place to live to get in out of the weather, why then do you build a house? Why then do you have a bed? If it's not important for him to stay warm and comfortable, why then do you seek convenience? Oh, my brother, let me tell you something. That is my responsibility. That's my responsibility. I think about it. You say, well, you just take it on yourself. No, I don't take it on myself. God said it was my responsibility. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you're just trying to take all these things on yourself. No, you're just being foolish. I'm not trying to take anything on myself. This is what God tells me to do. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who was God talking to? He was talking to the ministry, talking to the body of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Sure he was. Like I told the man over here in Athens over there, he put a little pressure on me when things got hard, wanted to take something away from us here. And I went over there to visit him, had to go through a chain of command to get back there to talk to him. When I got back there and I sat down and he began to lower the boom, I said, wait a minute. And he looked over at me, I said, sir, let me tell you something. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. I said, God sent me to preach the gospel and to tell people that they're going to die and go to hell. I said, it's my job and my responsibility. And I said, sir, I'd have you to know that you're a human being too. And it's your responsibility just like it's my responsibility. I said, what are you doing about it? And you know that the man got so tore up they had to give him time off. He went to see a psychiatrist. He still couldn't get straightened out. And finally come over here weeks later and said, man, I'm all to pieces. Said, you tore me all to pieces. Said, you got to help me. Said, I've been to the psychiatrist. Nobody can help me. Oh, let me tell you something. I didn't just accept this responsibility. That's the reason I talk like I do. That's the reason I talk to him like I did. God gave this responsibility. I'm not somebody playing a game. We're not a bunch of people that's in the world, as I said on TV today. We're not just somebody else that's come down here to join the professional field. We're not just a preacher that's been hatched off out of seminary, that's joined up with the lawyers just to find our professional position in life. We're the minister of God that come to tell you that you're going to die and go to hell unless you repent of your sins and make your lives be straight according to God's way of life and according to God's word. We are God's ministers sent into the world to tell mankind their responsibility in what they must do. Brother, this is no game to play. We are not little children. I know some of you are little children, but all of us are not little children. The Bible said parents should lay up for the children. What are you doing? Why do you act like a little child? Paul said, when I was a child, I act like a child. Why do some of you women act like little girls when you're supposed to be mothers in Israel? When you're supposed to be grown up? Some of you women should be strong in the spirit, filled with the grace of God and with the mind of Christ and the knowledge of the Lord, comforting, consoling, helping those that are weak, leading and guiding to build the church of the living God. And some of you men that act like little boys, you should be fully responsible to God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Have the glory of God in your life and the knowledge of God and the strength of God to be a pillar in the temple of God instead of finding fault and backbiting and tearing down and causing division. Don't you know God will visit you for those wicked things? My brother, this is God's kingdom. This is God's house. This is God's business. He said, He is my servant. I put my spirit upon him. He is my elect. He is my servant. Are you God's servant tonight? Are you God's body tonight? Are you God's son tonight? Is the spirit of God upon you tonight? He is my servant. I place my spirit upon him. He will do my will. He will carry out my charge. He will declare my generation. He will look after my business. I must be about my Father's business, Jesus said. The scribes and the Pharisees warred, always splitting theological hairs, as we say. While they have their telethons out yonder to raise money to buy TV stations and more radio stations so that they can put some worldly thing on there to draw more people, to get more money, to buy more stations, to get more money. To have more fame and popularity. Brother, we've got a job to do for God. While they're playing around in the tadpole holes and while they're wallowing in the mires of the world, while they're teaching people out there that you can mix darkness with light, what are we going to do? Somebody say, bless God, you know, it really upsets me to see that preacher out there misleading them people. It must not upset you very much. You don't do anything about it. You don't make any effort against it. If it upsets you, why is it you don't do something about it? Do you spend any nights on your knees praying? Do you make any special effort to help print the Word of God to get it out there to stop them? Do you lift up your voice against it? It must not be very disturbing to you. It disturbs me. It disturbs me. You say, but Brother Pike, why are you so disturbed? Because I own this world. God gave it to me. It belongs to me. I don't like some foolish people messing with it. That's my inheritance. These are my brothers and my sisters. There's a government that God has set in the earth. And he doesn't want a bunch of foolish people doing the things that they're doing. And we must rise up and do something about it. For the Bible said the saints shall rise and take the kingdom. We have to lift our voice up against it. We have to lift our strength up against it. We have to refuse to tolerate the evil doings. We have to put down our foot. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, tell me something then. If we'll not put our foot down at Bethlehem, what kind of cesspool of iniquity would this be? When the coach from the high school come out here, boldly walked in with his shorts on, come into the sanctuary of God. When some of them that's rah, 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 come walking in here, some of the girls with their little mini skirts on. If we didn't hold up some standards, what would it be like? If you didn't have a constitution and a backbone in your home, my brother, sister, what would it be like? Why, your house would be a slop hole. You know that. Men would be in there hugging and kissing and defiling your daughters and wives. It'd just be one great big messy slop hole. Isn't that right? Same way with the kingdom of God. The Bible said they've changed the word of God into a lie.
They have actually taken the word of God and perverted it and changed it into a lie. What am I to do about it? Sit back and say, well, it ain't my worry. It is my worry. It's my responsibility. I'm a son of God. I don't like it. God doesn't like it. And I'm telling you, he's going to do something about it. Somebody said, well, why you go around hollering and screaming like that? So that I can tell you, God is going to do something about it. Brother, when the law comes out here, they warn you and they warn you and they warn you and they warn you. After a while, the judge is going to do something about it. I'm telling you, my heavenly Father is going to do something about the situation. We are sent into the world to bear witness of the truth. Are you bearing witness of the truth? We are sent into the world as the sons of God, as the daughters of God. Do you have a backbone? Do you stand up against evil and the aggressors as they come and eat up the people of God? He said, who is this without knowledge that eats my people like they would eat bread? Who is the uncircumcised people that do these evil, wicked things? Do you stand up against them? Brother, we got to stand up against them. We've got to say something about it. That's why the presses are rolling. When they passed that bill in Congress, it was going to try to pass it, to draft women. It really upset me. I said, if they put any such thing in act of Congress, I'll take those presses if I have to roll them day and night, and I'll put things concerning Jimmy Carter and all the rest of them all across the United States and the different parts of the world. And I would have done it, so help me God. But God told me, said, pray, son. If you'll pray, I'll stop it. I went to God and I prayed. And I said, Heavenly Father, I'm disturbed. I'm tore up. I said, this thing really has me tore up. Worse than anything has torn me up in a long time. And I said, God, I want you to stop that. I said, I'm going to use my faith. And I said, if I've ever in my life used my faith for anything, I'm going to use my faith for you to stop this thing. And I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to stop that thing. I said, God, I want you to stop it. Stop it short of where it's at right now. And I don't know what happened, but they tell me that they stopped it short. That's the way I prayed. I said, I want you to hit it, God, and hit it hard, and I want you to stop it short. And he apparently did. I'm concerned. Folks, are you concerned? Are you concerned about the Iranian crisis? Are you concerned about the suffering people over there? You say, what's that to me? Well, I've been over there. Some of the others have been over there. Those are human beings just like you're a human being. Like the letter we got from Africa that said, Brother Pike, when are you coming to Africa? They're interested too. I've been able to go into the islands. I've been able to go into South America. I've been able to set their little old table, share their little old piece of bread. I've been able to sit there on their dusty, the ground that they call a floor. I've been able to see the tears drip from their cheeks when they have nobody to turn to and see the need. I've been able to see it. Folks, you can't see things like that and remain the same. You can't look and see things like that and still remain a glutton. It does something to you. It does something to you. What are we going to do about it? Oh, he said, Brother Pike, you just get all beside yourself. I know I get all beside myself. But Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself from God, for God. I want to know what we're going to do about it. He said, well, we're doing all we can do. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe I'm doing all that I can do. Somebody said, well, why don't you do it? I'm trying my best to get myself in shape and condition to pull the old flesh down to where it will do all that it ought to do. I'm trying to do it. That's what I'm trying to do. The Bible said contend for the faith that was once delivered to saints. I'm not saying I'm way up here and you're way down there. But I'm saying one thing. I see where some of you could move up. I see where you could make some changes in your life. I see where you need to get out of some of that drifting around, some of that lethargy. I made the statement this evening. We've got so many things to do. Why is it, brothers, sisters, why is it we don't move through one project? Take that thing and make that thing a project and say, glory to God, we're going to hit that with all of our might. and we're going to do it. We're going to get it done. Oh, why do we want to be a coward and just mess around? And every time we go to work a little bit or do a little bit, we just slump. Can't do it. Can't do it. We can do it. Glory to God, we can do it. Did you know that's the thing? And I'm going to close in a few minutes. But did you know that's the thing that upset God with Israel? God took them over to the Canaan land and he said, look out yonder. Oh, look what a beautiful land. I'm God. I want to take you into Canaan. And I want to help you. And I can help you. And I'll give you the land of Canaan that flows with milk and honey. And I'll give you the desire of your heart because I'm God. And in spite of all of that, you know what they did? They stood there and said, well, we don't know. We've heard a lot of giants in that land. I don't know about that, they said. No, it upset God. They said, now, wait a minute. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And God was wroth. And they limited the Holy One. Slothfulness, have concern. Some of you are almost ready for the coffin right now. You don't have that many years. Some of you don't have that many years. No doubt some of his body may be eat up with disease and you think you're all right. Maybe you've shortened your days by your disobedience. There might be a car wreck. There might be something waiting on you right now. There might be a broken heart. Who knows what's waiting for you? Only God. Yet you keep on going at breakneck speed and the fool will go on till the dart strikes through his liver. How do you understand what I'm saying? I feel like we need to do something. We need to get up, go for God. How do you agree with that? Let's do something. Let's don't drag it out. Let's get together. Let's make a drive. Whatever there is to be done, let's do it. Do it with all of our heart. Do it with all of our mind. Do it with all of our strength. Find out what there is to be done. Set that thing up as a target and get out there and don't draw back. Don't weasel out, as the world says. Don't crawfish out on it. But stand there like a man and say, God, this is my portion in life. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for Christ's sake. Can you do it? Can you do it? Will you do it? Are you willing to do it? Stand up like a man or a woman and do it. You say, do what, Brother Pike? Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let hurl the gospel to the end of the earth. Shake the very foundation of this world for Christ Jesus. You say, you can't do that. The Bible said I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Why come I can't do it? If I believe God, I can do it. Some of you, as I said, if you're going to do anything, you better do it in a hurry. You don't have all that many years. Your time's running out. Time's getting shorter for you. You don't know what's waiting on you, heartaches and sorrow. But I tell you one thing, it's for sure the judgment's waiting on you. It's for sure that you're going to die. It's for sure there's an end of the trail for you somewhere. You better wake up. You better get together, folks. You better catalog these things that I'm telling you. You better let's do something for God. You ladies, you better coordinate with Sister Betty or get somewhere, whether it's Little Bethlehem or wherever, and find you a job for God. You better find you a job for God. Get out there and find you a job for God. We had a woman here, and that woman was one of our leading positions. That woman was doing something for God. I've heard Betty praise her and said, Betty would tell me, she'd say, that woman does more than any woman here. But that woman grumbled and complained. Her companion grumbled and complained. Because that woman wasn't satisfied to work with another leading woman here. And always she was complaining. So one day God took her out of her position. Today she isn't even with us. Today she isn't even around. Somebody else has to do her job. Don't be that kind of person. Don't do like that. Realize that you've got a place. Others has got a place. Don't try to dominate a thing. Don't try to make people bow down to you. Be a brother. Be a sister. Be an example. Don't be a lord over God's heritage. Don't take the constraint for filthy lucre, but do it for Christ's sake. Do it for Christ's sake as an example unto the flock. Don't be an old, strong, haughty, overbearing, evil kind of a person. But do something. Have the kind of a spirit that will give, the kind of a spirit that will submit, the kind of a spirit that will break. Because the Bible said, he that falleth on this stone shall be broken. But brother, just in the event that it falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. You resist this stone and don't break your spirit. And be determined that you're going to be that haughty person that you are, and that self-willed person that you are, and that protruding person that you are, and that domineering person that you are, and see if God don't grind you to powder. He'll break you. You love Jesus? Well, so I just don't see why you get so excited over it. Well, I do. Been doing it for years. I guess I'll continue to do it. I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. I had rather be dead than not do nothing for God. I say this again with all reverence, respect, with all godly fear. I appreciate life. I appreciate the breath of life. I appreciate everything God has given me, the stars, the moon, everything else. But if I can't do something for God, I'd rather be dead right now. If that is all there is to life, then I'd rather be dead. Because it's just a miserable, wretched place, as far as I'm concerned. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That's the way I feel about it. The Bible said, if you hate your life for my sake in this world, you'll gain it. If you love your life and you're having a good time here, he said, you'll lose it. Brother, if I give my life to humanity and to God and to others and my service to others, and I live my life that I might do something for others and give to others and help others, then when I cross over the river, as we say, then I've gotten my bank account, I've gotten my reward, I've got my treasure. But if I do everything for myself and I save my life in this world to do everything for myself, to get what I want, to enjoy what I want, to comfort myself, and to have my convenience in that life, I won't have anything. I won't have anything. So I want to do something for God. To live is Christ. To die, that's my treasure. It's gain. All right, let's stand together. I tell you again, someday you won't hear me say these things. Someday it'll all be over. While you can hear my voice, the Bible said, while the voice of God can be heard, in that it's not the minister speaking, but the voice of God. While you can hear the voice of God, in that you can hear his voice, in that day repent, in that day heed the call, in that day do something about it. You know, the devil, he'll make you feel so discouraged. He'll make you feel so downcast. He'll make the things of God seem like they're so worthless. You know, what you doing all of that for? I don't see nothing about it. There's nothing exciting about it. And I don't see all them things. And it just don't do nothing to me. He'll make it look so drab, everything that you do. He'll make it look so drab and worthless. And make you feel so that you just, the things of God are just, my, why do you want to do that? Just ain't no appeal to it. But you know, I like what he said, he's my servant. Said he won't get discouraged. He'll send forth that judgment unto truth. He won't get discouraged. He won't be weary in well-doing. A bruised reed he'll not break, and smoking flax he'll not quench. He'll send forth that mercy under the judgments of God. See, stir up your pure mind in God. You know why the things of God don't glitter, why they don't sparkle, why they don't have any appeal? It's because you filled your belly with the husk the swine eats. It's because you don't have any appetite. It's because you spend all of your time in the carnal mind, in the carnal side of life. There's no appeal to the things of God. there is no appeal to the things of God. But I say this again reverently. Carry around a few hundred in your billfold. Make you feel better. Put a few hundred in the bank. Make you feel even better. Have the convenience of life. Do nothing for God. Let everything lay waste. Eat, drink, and be merry. But pay on your insurance so you can have the box that you're going to have at the end of the way. Be sure. Don't be a burden for somebody else to have to bury you. You know, if you're going to do something for God, it's all right. If somebody has to bury you, that's all right. But if you're going to eat, drink, and be merry and make money, be sure you buy your own box. Don't be a burden to nobody else. And you'll need a box. You say, Brother Pike, you talk foolish. I'm not talking foolish. Abraham went and bought his burying place for him and his wife and had it all paid for. Got it all ready. That's not out of text. But I'm just telling you, if that's all you got to do is eat, drink, and be merry. Because every day you're one day older. You know what? When some of you came here 5 years ago, how do you know you're about 5 years older now? And I said, well, I can't tell the difference. Well, you will. You will. Just keep on waiting. You can't do nothing about it. How's am I, you know, they think, well, I'd love to stop that, but you can't. You can't. Tomorrow you're going to be another day older. You can't stop it. There ain't no way that you can stop it. It works on everybody all the time in every generation. But I tell you what, brother, sister, we've got a secret. Hallelujah. Behold, I show you a mystery. There is a way, and Jesus said, I'm that way. If we want to follow in the way. All right, let's sing this little song, They That Wait Upon the Lord. Invest in the Lord of your time, of your prayer, of your effort, of your substance. Invest in the Lord of your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts be scattered. Don't just let your mind idle all the time. Spend your time meditating in His laws day and night. Give of your time. Give of your thinking. Give of your thoughts. Think on Jesus. Think on Jesus. Think on Jesus. You say, but Brother Pike, if I'd done that, I couldn't run my business. I couldn't run my job. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Better than you ever run it in your life. Did you know that everything in the natural that you do is only an allegoric veil of the spiritual presence and mind of God? And that as you live and walk in the Spirit, that everything you do in the natural, it will revelate itself to you. And you'll be carrying on your natural duties. But everything that you do will become a spiritual understanding. And yet you'll be more efficient because you'll see in a greater manner, in a deeper manner. You'll see the pitfalls and the errors and the things that others won't be able to see. Let's sing that chorus, They That Wait On The Lord, can we? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, just to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, just to wait. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.